Hello and welcome to We the People. February 1st, that's the day the four convicts in the Nirbhaya gang rape and murder case are to be hanged to death. Instead of the 22nd of January, the date first set by a trial court, the four men found guilty of the rape and brutal murder of a 23-year-old paramedical student in the national capital 7 years ago are to be executed by the state at 6 a.m. on the 1st of February. In fresh warrants that were issued hours after President Ramnath Kovind rejected a mercy plea filed by one of them, Mukesh Singh. The new death warrants, or black warrants, they're dated the 1st of February because, according to the law, there has to be a gap of 14 days after a mercy plea is turned down so that those on death row can exhaust all legal options before one can be executed by the state. The three other convicts, or two actually, have yet to file their respective petitions, which they may do at any time prior to their execution. However, remember that each time a petition is filed and rejected, that 14-day period must be observed, thereby prolonging the execution. And that's not all. On Monday, the Supreme Court is to hear a petition by another one of the four convicts, a Pavan, who claims that he was a juvenile on the date of the crime and so should be punished according to juvenile laws. Well, these developments in the Nirbhaya case have now revived the debate on whether death penalty should be retained as a punishment for murder under the Indian Penal Code. And we're asking tonight on We the People whether the death penalty is a deterrent for rapists. On the show tonight, we have Sunil Gupta, a man who has overseen over 8 hangings in his career at Tihar Jail. He's one of the authors of the book Black Warrant. He has spent an equivalent of 2 life sentences in Tihar Jail, but no, not as an inmate, he's as a jailer. We have N.D. Pacholi, a lawyer in the Parliament attack case who has closely watched the Afzal Guru defense. We have Mehra Sood joining us, a human rights lawyer. We have Dr. Anoop Surendranath. He teaches the constitutional law at the National Law University in Delhi. He's the director of the Center on Death Penalty. Ravina Rajkohli, founder of No Rape India, and Vikram Singh, former DGP of UP. Sunil Gupta, first I want to go across to you. Now, the country, rightly or wrongly, is baying for blood. And they want the death by hanging of these four people who are guilty. They have been convicted of a horrific, brutal rape. But overseeing the death of a person is not easy. And you've done 8 such things. And you've said in your book that death penalties do not help correct the crime or the criminal. What did you mean by that?
Basically, you see, there is death penalty for the murder case. In rarest of rarer cases, death penalty is awarded, could be awarded. You see, despite it being there, murder are the major offense in any state. If you see the state of Delhi, here 35% of the convict population, they are in the murder cases. So had it been deterrent for committance of crime, so there would not have been so much number of cases. Second, you know, we are living in the democracy. Here, our correctional philosophy is to reform, rehabilitate, and reintegrate that prisoner into the society. When you are having this policy, this is the state policy, and in every jail manual it is written that it is the motto of the prison administration. And then you say that the death penalty is the only answer, I don't agree. And I want to tell you that in most of the cases, I have studied all over India these death penalties who were executed. Most of the time, they are poor. They are poor.
Yes.
And even if you, because I have spent 35 years as an officer in Tihar Jail, I wish to tell you that even in Delhi, which is the model state for other country, here 80% of the prison population, they come from lower economic strata of the society, where their monthly income is less than 8,000 rupees. 80%. Then what you will say? That rich are not committing the crime, or middle class are not committing the crime, only poor jhuggi dweller are committing the crime. So we have to see all this before saying that kill them, kill them, kill them. We have to see our system, how this system is working.
And you how further it's see. Not working.
And further, Ravina, further, you further see, even Supreme Court of India, they have fired the, they have given the stricture against our this criminal justice administration several times.
Correct.
Despite that, nothing is happening.
Nothing has happened. Ravina, Sunil Gupta says reform, rehabilitate, and reintegrate into society. So according to what he's saying, these four perhaps could be reintegrated into society. How does that statement sit with you?
At the moment, nobody believes that anybody who has raped and murdered a woman can be rehabilitated into society and society can feel safe. That is not going to happen. Public opinion will not rest there. However, I must say, rape as a deterrent cannot really work in the long term because, I mean, the death penalty as a deterrent cannot work in the long term because the conviction rate is only 24% in rape. First and foremost, and nobody pre-contemplates that, oh, I have a 24% chance of death, therefore I will not rape. That is not going to happen. What we need as a country is consistency of the law applied to all socioeconomic strata offenders. That is not happening. You know, Sunil is absolutely right in what he says, that mostly, you know, the convicts are people who don't have adequate and strong legal counsel. That happens a lot. I'm agnostic about the death penalty. And I encourage all of us on No Rape India to debate it in a healthy manner, but not take a stand on it, because honestly, none of us know enough as a population. But most certainly, it doesn't sit well if we start saying that without adequate strength and police resource and consistency of applying the law, if you start only rehabilitating people who have committed the rarest of rare things. I don't think there will be anybody in this country who will say, apart from maybe human rights activists and lawyers, and rightfully so, everybody should be given the opportunity in a case where there is no doubt that this is the rarest of rare, and this is the law of our land. This is not something that the common man is laying down as law, right? It has to be followed through in this particular case.
So you're saying in this case where there is no doubt, but we, as we hopefully we can touch upon this on the show, there may be cases where doubt emerges later. And once you hang someone, or you've killed someone, what do you
create doubt?
You can't go back on it.
Look at Kathua. I mean, you can afford to create doubt. Look at Priyadarshini Mattu's case. You can afford to create doubt. Why aren't these people, because they had access to good legal counsel, even being discussed? You're right. Okay, so I think that needs to be
We'll come across, go across to the issue of doubt being created eventually at some point, maybe 10 years down the line in the case of Afzal Guru, for example. But Mihira Su joins us. You mentioned human rights activists. You know, there's been a statement. We have women here on this panel. This is not a women's issue, and in a sense it also is. But we have women's rights groups have put out a statement saying that they understand the pain of family members, of mothers, of fathers, of women and children who have been raped and then who may have even been killed after. But this is, there is no shortcut to justice, and the state is trying to distract us by creating an illusion of justice. We've tried to keep politicians off this panel. We really want to get in depth into looking into whether this is the answer. Your response: the state is trying to create an illusion of justice and distract us by that.
Absolutely. The death penalty doesn't benefit anybody except strengthen the hands of the state machinery, which is not something that that benefits women, which is not something that does anything to dismantle patriarchy. Rather, it just furthers it. And feminists have long been suspicious of such coercive powers of the state. And when we know of, you know, the irreversibility of death penalty and the fallibility of death penalty, the fallibility of evidence, you know, that it's not about one case. It's not about the fact that, you know, maybe in one case the evidence is incontrovertible. We cannot be making exceptions for cases, right?
No, but Ravina's pointing out in this case, they have been tried, they are convicted, they are guilty, they have admitted to the crime. So in this case, she's saying, yes, we should have a follow-through. If you don't have a follow-through,
it's the land. Only because it is the law of the land. It is not a shortcut to what needs to change in the system and what needs to change in the criminal justice system. There are huge problems with it in our country. And I'm glad this case is bringing this to light. And the dialogue should now continue from just, you know, two or four, you know, for and against the death penalty into what needs to change for consistent justice.
Yes, because you could have equally horrific, not never rape the day after all of these four are executed. Mihira, finish your thought.
Look, as I said, it can't be on a case-by-case basis, right? And every case is horrific for the family that has to suffer it, right? Just because this one happened to catch media attention,
because
the young lady in question died, as a result of such brutality. But every case is horrific, right? What do you make an exception for? Can you actually say that one rape, or one rape resulting in death is less horrific than another or more horrific than another? It doesn't work that way. So I think we need to get out of this case-by-case kind of, but what about in this case? We understand that, death penalty is problematic in many ways, but it's not problematic in this case. You can't have it both ways.
This case did garner a lot of media attention, and that's the dichotomy of this whole thing. Despite the outrage of the rape and the murder, women in India, we still face unprecedented rates of sexual violence. Nothing has changed on the ground at all for women. And I want to go across now to one of the bravest women in India today, who's been holding a mirror up to us as a society for 7 years, unwaveringly alone in her fight for justice. Asha Devi, the mother of the young woman whose rape and murder shook India's conscience, a young woman India calls Nirbhaya. Asha Devi ji, thank you so much. Aap hamare saath baat kar rahe ho, aap hame time de rahe ho. Thank you, bahut shukriya. Hum sabko pehle bola gaya tha ki ye char Nirbhaya rape convicts ko phansi 22nd January ko hogi. Phir ab ye keh rahe hain ki 1 February ko hogi. Aapke liye to this must have been a very mentally exhausting hua hoga ye pichli saal aapke liye.
एक साल हमारी सुनवाई नहीं, कभी छुट्टियां, कभी जज चेंज हो गए, कभी छुट्टी पे चले गए. फाइनली जब दिसंबर में सुनवाई भी हुई, शुरू हुई, जब उनका डेट फाइनल हो गया तो उनके अधिकार सामने आ गए कि नहीं, उनका अधिकार है कि 14 दिन का उनको टाइम मिले. इससे 2.5 साल पहले कहीं कुछ नहीं था. जब उनको फाइनली डेट आ गया, कोर्ट ने उनको वार्निंग किया, वीडियो कॉन्फ्रेंसिंग करके बताया उनके परिवार वालों के सामने कि आपके ये बात 18 दिसंबर की है. कोर्ट ने वीडियो कॉन्फ्रेंसिंग के जरिए मुजरिमों को बताया, उनको परिवार को बताया, वकील को बताया कि नहीं, आपके जो अधिकार हैं आप उसको इस्तेमाल करिए, लेकिन उन्होंने नहीं किया. फाइनली 7 तारीख को उनकी कहीं भी अपील बाकी नहीं थी, तो कोर्ट ने उनका डेट वारंट जारी किया कि 22 तारीख को उनकी फांसी होगी. लेकिन इसमें भी खेल हो गया कि नहीं, उनको फांसी नहीं होगी, उनको 14 दिन का टाइम मिलना चाहिए, उनका अधिकार है. अरे मैं पूछना चाहती हूँ कि सारा अधिकार उनको है, उन्होंने क्राइम किया, उनको फांसी की सजा हुई, वो मुजरिम साबित हुए और सारे उनके अधिकार हैं. एक बच्ची दुनिया से चली गई, मैं 7 साल से संघर्ष कर रही हूँ, मेरा अधिकार क्या है? सारा कानून का अधिकार उनको मिलना चाहिए, हमें क्या मिला? हमें मिला कि मैं 7 साल से संघर्ष हुई, कहीं ना कहीं मैं ही मुजरिम साबित हो गई. तो क्या वो निर्भया को जीने की इच्छा नहीं थी? क्या जो बच्चियां हमारी जलाई जा रही है, मर रही है, उनकी जीने की इच्छा नहीं थी? वो देश के नागरिक नहीं थे, उनका अधिकार नहीं था जीने के? इनका सारा अधिकार है, इन्होंने क्राइम किया, बच्चियों को मार दिया, इनका अधिकार है, उनका अधिकार नहीं था? तो कहीं ना कहीं ये सिस्टम ही मुजरिमों के लिए बना है, मुजरिमों को अधिकार के लिए बना है, क्योंकि जहां भी जाते हैं उनका अधिकार खड़ा रहता है. तो इसी वजह से तो वो ये खेल खेल रहे हैं कि आज मर्सी कोर्ट ऑर्डर करता है, सरकार ऑर्डर करता है, वो सबसे इस टाइम पे अगर वो कोई बड़ा है तो सबसे बड़े मुजरिम है, जिन्होंने बलात्कार किया, जिन्होंने बच्ची को मार दिया, वो सबसे बड़े हैं. जो चाहते हैं वही होता है, कोर्ट उनकी सुनती है, सरकार उनकी सुनती है, उनका अधिकार दिखता है, हमारा तो कुछ अधिकार ही नहीं है कि जो हमें इंसाफ मिले.
करेक्ट. अनूप सुरेंद्रनाथ, इफ यू कैन जस्ट कम इन हियर फॉर अ सेकंड अबाउट अ पॉइंट दैट मैम हैज रेज्ड. शी सेज दैट फॉर 7 years दे हैव एनएक्टेड एंड नाउ this seems to be a game that's being played with her specifically because she lost her daughter, that it's just playing for time. First you'll file a petition, then the second person will file a petition. Every day it's 14 days, and just go on.
Yeah, so absolutely I acknowledge the situation that Asha Devi and Badrinath Singh find themselves in. And that is a reaction that I don't think any of us can really fathom, and that what they're going through, what that experience is. But similarly, while you have that on one hand, on the other hand, you have a constitutional order that lays out a certain procedure to how you can take somebody's life. And the trial court has found them guilty. The High Court has confirmed the death sentence. The Supreme Court has confirmed the death sentence. They have a review petition. They have a curative petition. They have a mercy petition. The rejection of the mercy can be challenged. Now, why are all these protections there? Why do we have this procedure? The reason for this procedure is that if the state wants to take life, it very well be sure that proper procedure has been followed, right? It's one thing for Asha Devi and Badrinath Singh to feel a sense of injustice, a sense of wanting to see justice quickly done, and that's absolutely legitimate. And I don't think you and I or anybody else can judge them for that. But similarly, there is an integrity to the legal system that has to be followed, because the state cannot appropriate their suffering and say that we will not follow procedure. And if you look at Hyderabad, that, you know, that's what's happening. The state is appropriating the suffering of the victims, right? And in and we all need to acknowledge that when a crime happens of this sort, I am of the view that the state has failed, state and society, for sure, has failed the victim and the perpetrator.
Right? Asha Devi ji, ma'am, aapko kabhi kya lagta hai ki you've lost your daughter, aapki grief aur pain koi nahi samajh sakte, magar aapko kabhi lagta hai ki, you know, death penalty is not the answer, kyunki 7 saal ho gaya hai aur abhi bhi kuch nahi badla hai. Itna anger tha, itna awareness create hua tha us samay baad, phir bhi aaj hum dekh rahe hain, is weekend ko hum dekh rahe hain ki 3 horrific cases report ki gayi hai UP mein.
Main aapse ye puchna chahti hu, क्या एक को भी फांसी हुई है? 7 साल हो गए निर्भया के क्राइम हुए, निर्भया के मुजरिमों को फांसी नहीं हुई, तो क्या मैं एक पूछती हूँ कि एक भी रेपिस्ट को फांसी हुई है? कि आप उम्मीद करते हैं कि नहीं, ये फांसी से फर्क पड़ना चाहिए या नहीं पड़ना चाहिए? तो जब तक उनको सजा नहीं दे गए, आप उम्मीद करते हो कि हमारे देश में बच्चियां सुरक्षित हो जाएंगी, उनका सपोर्ट करोगे, कानून उनका सपोर्ट करेगा, सरकार उनको सपोर्ट करेगी, आप सोच रहे हैं कि नहीं देश में महिलाएं सुरक्षित हो जाए? जो भी हुआ है, आज जो महिलाएं मरी हैं, कोर्ट ने उनको बेल दिया तभी तो हुआ है. तो एक जो कुछ हो रहा है उसका पूरा का पूरा जिम्मेवारी सिस्टम का है. जो भी बलात्कार हो रहे हैं, रेप हो रहे हैं, बच्चियों को मारा जा रहा है, क्योंकि वो जानते हैं कि इन्होंने गलत किया, इन्होंने रेप करके जेल में आए हैं, फिर भी उनको बेल मिल जाती है क्योंकि उनका अधिकार है. लेकिन जो महिला मर गई, बच्ची मर गई, उसका तो कोई अधिकार ही नहीं है.
Correct. Legal system and the police system, the criminal system has failed us. Anoop Suryadenath bhi wohi keh rahe hai, ma'am. Aapko kabhi kya lagta hai ki death penalty ke saath sabse badi advantage police ko hoti hai? Kyunki Telangana mein jab ye young doctor, veterinarian doctor went missing aur unke pitaji police ke paas gaye ki missing persons complaint file karne ke liye, police ne unko bola ki dekho aapki beti ke paas boyfriend hogi, wo kal aa jayegi, kal subah aa jayegi, kya kyun complaint laga rahe ho? Aur fir ek ghante baad uski body mili. To yahan pe police ko sabse badi advantage ho rahi hai. और फिर हमें उन्होंने एनकाउंटर किया दो दिन के बाद.
सवाल ये अलग है. पुलिस ने जो उनके माँ बाप गए, एफआईआर नहीं किया, बेटी को ढूंढा नहीं, ये बहुत गलत है. ये पुलिस के लिए बहुत शर्मनाक है, उस वर्दी के लिए शर्मनाक है जो उन्होंने वर्दी में रहते हुए उस बच्ची को ढूंढा नहीं, उस परिवार का सपोर्ट नहीं किया. ये बिल्कुल गलत है. जो भी उसमें शामिल है उसको बिल्कुल सस्पेंड होना चाहिए. लेकिन जो इनकाउंटर हुआ, लोगों ने खुशियां मनाई, तो इसलिए खुशियां मनाई कि लोग सालों साल जूझते हैं लेकिन उनको इंसाफ नहीं मिलता है. लोगों ने खुशियां इसलिए मनाई. लेकिन जो इनकाउंटर हुआ, उस किस सिचुएशन में हुआ, अगर उनका इनकाउंटर नहीं होता तो पुलिस का होता या वो भाग जाते, तभी पुलिस पे सवाल उठता कि नहीं वो भगा दिया. तो दोनों क्वेश्चन अलग है. जहां गलत है वो गलत है, लेकिन जो गलत नहीं है बिल्कुल सही है. मैं मानती हूं कि वो जो इनकाउंटर हुआ बिल्कुल सही हुआ. जिस तरह से मैं 7 साल से संघर्ष कर रही हूं, अब मुझे लोगों का ऐसे सपोर्ट मिल रहा है कि लोग हमसे उम्मीद कर रहे हैं कि मैं माफ कर दूं, तो उस हिसाब से तो वो इनकाउंटर बिल्कुल सही हुआ. ऐसे ही होना चाहिए. मैं आज भी इनकाउंटर को सही मानती हूं कि कम से कम एक परिवार तो बच गया जो सालों साल संघर्ष नहीं करना पड़ेगा.
हर्षा देवी जी, थैंक यू सो मच. आपने हमारे साथ बात की, इट्स अ डिफिकल्ट टाइम फॉर यू, एंड आपने हमारे लिए टाइम निकाला. थैंक यू वेरी मच. Vikram, before I get to, you know, the rights and wrongs of an encounter, the fact is we've reached this position and the audience is clapping, and it's because of the failure of the authorities. It's the failure of the police. The police haven't done their job, and in the end, they do these encounters and everybody ends up clapping for them in television studios. In this case, when the father went to the police station, the police told them that, you know, she's probably off with her boyfriend somewhere. She'll come back the next morning. If they had acted at that point of time, maybe she would even have been alive.
Absolutely. If the police had reacted and the response time was absolutely right, then there was every chance of this accident or this horrific incident being prevented. That did not happen. And I totally agree with Asha Devi ji that action under 166A of the Indian Penal Code was introduced after the Nirbhaya case, 13th Criminal Law Amendment Act, should be taken against the police officers, and they should be sent to jail for 6 months for refusing to lodge an FIR and not reacting in a manner in which they were expected to do. Coming to encounters, the police in anywhere in the country, whether it's the films or the real life, are taken to be villains of the highest order. Now, make no mistake about it, if there is a flaw in an encounter, the shortest cut to gallows and to the jail is if an encounter goes wrong. And there are so many police officers languishing in jail. I don't think of any police officer being executed, but there are any number of police officers undergoing life imprisonment in jails, including Punjab and Uttar Pradesh. It is not a thing that one would risk. I have no reasons to disbelieve what the police commissioner of Hyderabad is saying, that yes, it was a genuine encounter done in the exercise of right of private defense.
3 a.m. in the morning is the time they found to work so hard to take these
There can be any number of questions. It may be 3 a.m., it may be 1:30, it may be 4 a.m., it may be any a.m. It is for the police to answer what time they choose to keep away from public nuisance. That was the time they had the privacy. I have the privilege of the largest number of encounters in the country, and I know what I'm talking about.
Go ahead. What do you mean?
In the sense that I thought there was a look of shock in you, so I just kept quiet. And one would not risk his uniform, his career, his reputation, and for what? He would not risk. And don't you think for a moment that the police would choose 3 a.m. if they feel that there will be less public presence and nuisance? They would have the privacy and the opportunity to reconstruct the scene of crime with absolute professionalism. That was the time. And I don't fault the Hyderabad police for picking up 3 a.m. If they had gone there would be some kind of a mela or a tamasha going on, people taking videographs, obstructing, or even lynching the accused.
What about the fact that this is an illusion of justice that the police is giving us when they've actually failed? The criminal justice system has failed. Repeatedly, what we're seeing in UP today, we've seen 3 cases of violence against women. Are we just going to have an encounter? Is that going to be the answer for every solution that goes wrong?
You are jumping to conclusions. Again, what is happening in UP and what has happened in UP, there should be no pardon. I have advised the UP police to dismiss those police officers from service because they have failed multiple counts. They have failed those who the lady died, and they have failed the family of the deceased in the sense that they should have had preventive action. They should have had patrolling. They should have got the bail cancelled. They should have given the fear of law to those who brutalized the deceased. They have failed at least 5 times, and they have no business to be in service. They should not only be dismissed from service, but they be sent to jail thereafter.
Mihira, you raised your hand. You had something to say.
To the statement that no police officer would risk their reputation, for things like this. The fact of the matter is we are now in a state of affairs where it is not risking your reputation to have an encounter like this. In fact, it furthers your reputation. It furthers your popularity. And, that is the sad state of affairs we find ourselves in today.
Very
Again,
dangerous.
We are jumping to conclusions. I have had to face, and going to the Supreme Court is no joke in terms of finances and going. You never know whether you'll be coming back to home or you're going back to Tihar in Mr. Gupta's custody. The Supreme Court can jolly well see the prima facie. You are accused not of encounter but of murder. There have been cases when the Supreme Court has sent the officers directly to Tihar and they did not go to the office. They were made to...
I don't see why we have to construct the possible situation in which an encounter is legitimate. This is a police force exercising police powers, and there's a reason we have a rule of law system, right? I could equally ask counter questions to the account that has been given. Why weren't they shot in the legs?
Yes.
Right? Why were they shot to be killed?
I would request you to come along with me and take the bullets on you.
Please. Right? Now, we can start with a presumption that the police is correct, right? Or we can start with the presumption that this needs to be investigated and we don't need to create this hype that the police is correct, the police is justified, the police needs to be celebrated. Why? Why create that sentiment when you have the police exercising police powers? I am calling for some restraint from responsible people, like responsible police officers, decorated police officers, to say this is not the direction in which we want to go,
yes.
Right? And let's maintain a sense of calm. And yes, the people out there on the streets have their own sense of justice, their own sense of motivation. But when people in positions of power, in positions of responsibility, start to steer public discourse in the towards the direction of street justice,
yes,
and make this environment that we must abandon the rule of law that we have so painfully built over 70 years, it must worry all of us, because it could come to bite us someday. We all sit here and clap because we think it will not come to bite us,
yeah.
That the police power will not be used against us.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, when you are picked up for reading a book in your house, or some family friend of yours is picked up for being an anti-national and thrown into prison for not having a bail hearing for 1 year, that's when it will bite you. And when it bites you, you will not clap.
And we can raise many questions about the encounter, and this show is not about encounters specifically. I want to just bring it back to the topic. Yeah. We're talking about the death penalty. So, Ravina, please come in over here. Again, talking about the Telangana encounters. Advocates will point out that this kind of vigilante justice is not the answer. Actually, we don't even know if the four men who were killed in this encounter were actually responsible for the rape and the murder and burning this young woman, this veterinary doctor. So, no due process was followed here.
So I would like to say, I think what is happening is that the dire need of the hour is police reforms.
Yes.
Because not only do we not have enough of a police force, the police force does not have enough budgets. Our police to person ratio is so horribly high. The United Nations recommends a 1:220 ratio. We have a 1:1,000 ratio in this country. How are we ever going to feel safe in society if our cops are not resourced, respected, and they don't even understand their own jobs?
And
you know, to be able to deal with a crime.
Money was supposed to be sent on sensitizing, yes, officers. We have the situation
of
this father.
There is no training. The way the criminal division in the police is structured, there is no time and resource given to training on how to sensitize them, how to deal with the actual procedures in sexual crimes, in things like rape and,
yeah,
rape that leads to murder, aggravated rape, whatever. There is no behavioral sciences studies done in our country. In America, we have a BSU, a behavioral sciences unit, that has studied convicts, that has studied people on death row, that has learned and are able to apply that knowledge to get more convictions in a far more fair manner. So the criminal justice system has to start becoming much more efficient. Shooting people at will or having encounters or even just hanging somebody because he's,
yeah,
a poor guy or the media bait for his blood is not correct. We have to make our system work for us so that justice is visibly done uniformly and consistently.
And our systems are, I mean,
yeah,
the systems of justice right now are too imperfect. I want to go back to the topic, death penalty. The systems of justice are imperfect to take such an irreversible step. I want to bring in now Afzal Guru. He was convicted of the 2001 Parliament attack.
Yeah.
He was then hanged in 2013, in February.
2013.
He was executed in complete secrecy, in the middle of the dark. His family wasn't informed. The public didn't know about the president's decision. The world only got to know of the hangings after they were carried out. Now, today it emerges that the officer who he all along maintained, he claimed that there was an officer in the Jammu and Kashmir police who had was torturing him, who was forcing him to provide help and aid and get a car to the actual the terrorists who attacked the parliament. That officer, that DSP, Jammu and Kashmir police, has now been arrested in the presence of two militants. So, N.D. Pacholi, come in over here. First, how does the Davinder Singh case, how does it change the way we look at previous cases like Afzal Guru? And in Afzal's case, we've executed him, we've hung him.
From the very beginning, in fact, I was very closely associated this parliament attack case from the very beginning.
Yes.
I was the first one who filed Wakalatnama for Gilani, S.A.R. Gilani.
Yes.
And then Nandita Haksar, she organized brilliant the defense strategy for that. So at that time we were not for Afzal Guru, we were only for Gilani.
Correct.
But during the trial course, all other accused, Shaukat, Gilani, and Shaukat's wife, they had good advocates. We were there and others were there. But Afzal Guru did not have any defense. He did not engage any advocate. No. Court gave him that advocate. And why he did not engage any advocate? Because he was under threat of the special cell.
Yeah.
They were saying him, telling him that you don't have to. He had told everything about Devinder Singh. He told me that he had told everything about Devinder Singh to the special cell. But they had said that you don't have to tell anything during trial. You otherwise, your family, your mother, your wife, they will be in danger. So he did not say. But only after High Court, when he saw that he was not properly represented, he was not properly defended. You see, all the witnesses against him, they went without any cross-examination. So whatever was said against him, that went unchallenged.
Correct. He had no defense. He wasn't provided with a proper lawyer, legal defense.
Yes.
And he was the fall guy. But the fact, you know, we started off by talking about the fallibility of evidence.
Yes.
And in this case, Afzal Guru has been executed. He's been hanged.
Mm-hmm.
And today there's fresh evidence that's come up.
Now, only in Supreme Court he wrote that letter to Mr. Sushil Kumar about Devinder Singh. And in fact, at that time, it should have been investigated at that time. But now the Devinder Singh episode has come. It proves our case that this he was not properly defended, and this case was fabricated. In fact, there were so many fabrications. Why police officer should fabricate? It has come on record. They fabricated this arrest memo. They fabricated, they doctored the conversation between different, this Gilani and his brother there, and many other things. It has come on, this Ashok Chand, he lied. You see, they arranged on 20th December, the police media special cell arranged a press conference in which they had tortured, they had produced Afzal Guru after torturing him and told him that...
And he made a statement.
And that was played everywhere, every media. During that course of this media conference, somebody asked, Sirdar Shams Tahir asked him, what is the role of Gilani? He said, no, he is innocent. He has no concern. Then the special officer, police officer, Rajbir Singh, he shouted from the, you are not told to say this, why you are saying? That came in the on the video.
It was picked up by the cameras.
Rajbir Singh told the media person that you don't have to play this portion. And they
Correct.
Did not play. But by chance, Aaj Tak they played the whole. And this Nandita Haksar...
Because the public conscience of at that time was asking that someone pay the price, someone be the fall guy. But again, it brings us back to what Sunil Gupta was first talking about, reform. That the law legally, what we're looking for is reform. He was a surrendered militant, which means he was trying to reform himself. And he says he was pressurized by Devinder Singh. And today you're saying there's this new evidence, but what does that mean? Because now he's dead.
Already a pending demand that this case must be investigated, even if he is no more. But the case should be investigated. Who are the persons behind this attack? We do not know.
We don't, yeah.
You see, during his confession, he was made to say that he was a member of the Jaish-e-Mohammed. This conspiracy was organized in Pakistan. That is what he said. Now,
so will
that,
this case be reopened? Will we learn from what we find from this case? But Sunil Gupta,
let me say that Supreme Court ruled out his confession that it is not reliable. So every evidence goes. So very, who are the responsible?
But Sunil Gupta, like we said, the public seems to be baying for blood. And at this point of time, the Hyderabad police, they've been fettered on the ground there in studio here for bumping of four rape accused in this unabashed manner. But you, at this, over the past years when you were working, you had the job of ensuring that people that we as society consider the worst of our lot, the murderers, the rapists that we don't want to have anything to do with, they send them to jail, put them behind bars, we don't care what happens to them after that, are treated humanely, both while they're in jail and while they're killed. For example, you sat and had tea with Afzal Guru before he was hanged.
Yeah, basically, you know, whenever someone is inside the jail, our primary duty is to reform that person. How we reform? We reform by teaching him various type of vocations, by increasing his academic education. If he was illiterate, then to give him primary or basic education. By that way, we reform the prisoner. Basically, you know, I am just supplementing what Mr. Panjoli has stated. You see, most of the hi-fi cases, what the police will do, they will engage such police officer who don't believe in law, like Devinder Singh. I have seen so many trials. I have seen the trial of Ms. Indira Gandhi. I have seen so many other trials. They specially pick up such officer who will corner him by hook or by crook.
And there are many loopholes.
Yeah.
But tell us about how you sat with him in his last moments before he was killed. You said in your book that he just requested you to look in his eyes.
Mm.
And you didn't deny him the simple act. As a man is dying, no matter what, he's the worst crime. He's been found guilty of the worst crime ever, attacking India's parliament.
Mm.
But at that last few moments, you still treated him as a human being.
So basically, that is our duty. I still remember that thing when after taking tea, he just started singing the Ghana, the Bollywood song, Apne Liye Jiye To Kya Jiye, Khushi Ye Dil Jamane Ke Liye. This was a very famous Bollywood song. So I was surprised that during the last moment, when within minutes he is going to be hanged, he is singing this song. Then we also started singing with him. Then he told me that you seem to be a very compassionate officer. You just see in my eyes when I am being taken to the gallows.
So don't leave me alone.
Don't leave me alone. So you can say it was his last wish.
And you also asked for another cup of tea, which was not.
But at that time, tea man has gone.
Okay, I want to just go across now to, again, what happens behind bars. And do you treat people humanely? They're serving a sentence, they're behind bars, but do they still have rights behind bars? NDTV has accessed the mercy petition of Mukesh Singh. This is the mercy petition that was turned down by the president on Friday. And I'm just going to read out a few of the lines. He says, "The first day I came to prison, I was beaten mercilessly on a daily basis. In jail 4, prison officials encouraged other inmates to beat me with a rod. In jail 2, the officer beat me himself. I was sexually abused, forced to have sexual intercourse with my co-accused Akshay in full public view. I was a spectacle, abused, humiliated for sport. Inmates shoved in a stick in my private parts while officials watched. I was bleeding profusely. I was never taken to hospital." Dr. Anoop, the outcome of a weak criminal system, a weak judicial system, is this mob justice. And if this is true, what he is saying in his petition, it creates this vacuum, it allows for mob justice, and then it says that the authorities have not just failed outside of prison, but even in prison.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are the sort of things that should have come up before the courts. Right? And instead of coming out for the first time in a mercy petition where...
Which would lead many to ask, is this even true? Or is this just a man who is, you know, grasping for straws? He's about to be put to death, and so he's desperate, and so he's saying these things.
Right. And in a perfectly functional system, the way to find this out would be to look at his hospital records within the prison, right? Was he taken outside? Are they scrupulously maintained? Do we even have access to them, right? In the cases that we do in many other parts of the country, prisons are so reluctant to hand over medical records, right? Now, even when you go and access these medical records, the way these things are written, very often it is only medication that is given, right? You get access only to the medication that is prescribed. Why?
You know what happened to Rajan Pillai anyway.
Right? Exactly, right? And when you have, and when prison authorities are A, reluctant to give that access, and when you get access to the medical records, you're seeing only prescriptions and nothing else, it raises a red flag. Like, I don't know what's happening in this case, and I hope the lawyers will look at the medical records in this case to see, does any of this pan out, right?
Well, it raises a red flag, but does anyone really care? We've seen custodial deaths go up, and nobody seems to be concerned, at least in the public, again, because we feel we're not getting justice through the law or through the police. But Sunil Gupta, you've mentioned this whole prescriptions, doctors. We go across to doctors. In your book, you've said that you don't have access to doctors that much. You've talked about what happened to Rajan Pillai. You say the police officer may take the inmate to the doctor. If there's a long wait, he'll just come back because his shift is over. Now, Mukesh hasn't been mentioned in your book, but you have talked about sexual abuse of inmates. You've talked about sodomy of young inmates who have come in by more criminal, bigger criminals in jail. You've talked about inmates being beaten by authorities. You've admitted that you've also beaten inmates on your own. So would you believe this version, what we've gotten, these excerpts from the mercy petition?
No, basically, he's right that he cannot take this thing in the mercy petition. Basically, you see,
all of this should have been pointed out earlier.
Pointed out earlier. Yeah. It should not be taken in mercy petition.
No, it's also.
But
so how was it not pointed out?
I'm just coming to the point. For every jail under the law, there is one district and session judge who is visitor of the jail, who visits the jail. He hears every prisoner and record the grievance of the prisoner, and thereafter he direct the Director General Prison to take curative action. And what curative action he has to take, he also mentioned that.
But what do you do when this is a prisoner that nobody wants to see treated well? Because you, for example, you've talked about Ram Singh in your book.
Yeah.
And you said you tried to warn the authorities that you felt he would be harmed in jail. Mm. And you said that he should be put in a separate jail cell. But nobody, your fears were just turned down.
Basically, these rape prisoners, rape accused, they are maltreated inside the prison by the other prisoners. In fact, in the prison, there is a class where the murderer, they are the king, and these rapists, they are maltreated, beaten by the other prisoners. So when they came to the jail, I advised the Director General Prison, basically I was a legal advisor. I advised her that they should be kept in the high security wards. We are having high security wards for the prisoners who are either threatened by others or who are threat to others.
Yes.
Because they were being threatened by the other prisoner, I advised her that they should be kept in the high security ward. But my advice was ignored. As a result of which, within few days, it was told outside that he has committed suicide.
When the news broke that Ram Singh, the main accused in this Nirbhaya rape murder case, killed himself, honestly, most of us in the public, they heaved a sigh of relief because they felt, less problem to worry about. And even if we thought it could that be possible or true, we just put that away. We didn't want to deal with it. We all wanted to think that, he killed himself because of either remorse or understanding the inevitability that the law has caught up with him. Mm-hmm. But you did not believe that it's possible.
Yeah, I did not believe that. There were reasons. Because there were three or four other prisoners in the same cell. The size of the cell is, most of the cell size is, that is 15 feet length and 10 feet width.
And four prisoners in that.
And four prisoners in that. So when I was the first officer who reached there, what I saw was there was a bucket, a plastic bucket. It must be having 2 feet height. And this grill from which he alleged to have committed suicide, that was 12 feet high. And there was no other thing which was found there which would have helped him to climb that. आई आस्क द अदर प्रिजनर्स कि क्या हुआ ये कैसे कर दिया सर हम तो सो रहे थे वेर एज वेन यू विल सी इन दी माई असेसमेंट इज हाफ ऑफ द जेल डोंट स्लीप इन द नाइट हाफ ऑफ द जेल बिकॉज दे आर वरीड अबाउट देयर केस दे आर वरीड अबाउट देयर फैमिली दे आर हैविंग सो मेनी वरी दे डोंट स्लीप एंड सो साउंड स्लीप दैट वन इज कमिटिंग द सुसाइड एंड यू आर नॉट एबल टू डिटेक्ट दैट My this suspicion was confirmed when this inquiry was conducted. And in the inquiry, it came out that in his visra, he was having alcohol.
In jail?
In jail. Well, you can think that some Rajan Pillai is having alcohol inside the jail or some moneyed people, they are having this inside the jail. But poor people, that person, would be having alcohol inside the jail, that is totally unthinkable. Okay. What I guess was that he was beaten by those other co-mates. He was given this alcohol. And then after killing him, he was hanged.
All right, Sunil Gupta, you did your job then as... Your job then was to protect Tihar Jail's reputation, and you did a great job because the next day none of the papers mentioned any of this. Everybody said that he had killed himself. I'm just going to go in for a short break. After the break, let's get reactions from our audience here about where, because we've heard the audience clapping when we mentioned the encounter. But let's listen in to them about why you think the death penalty could be a deterrent or not after a short break. Welcome back. You're watching We the People. 7 years after the Nirbhaya horrific rape and murder, nothing seems to have changed. Then the government implemented legal reforms. It expanded the definition of sexual offences. They had instituted harsher punishments for rapists. We had a Nirbhaya fund that lies unused. Only 20% of it seems to be used overall. So let me ask the audience here, given all of this, why do we think that the death penalty is the answer?
Well, there are other oppressive nations around the world which actually stand below our country. India, in the various referral lists linking to the what UN has, actually provides. And they actually provide fast-paced justice to such humiliating, such horrific cases. Then why is it so that world's largest democracy continues to lag behind in such horrific cases?
Okay, more reactions?
मैम जो निर्भया रेप घटना हुई थी उसके बाद 2013 में रेप के कानून को संशोधित किया गया जो धारा 375 आईपीसी का है उसके बाद एक केस ये भी है बच्चन सिंह वर्सेज स्टेट ऑफ पंजाब इसमें जो एक्यूज बोला था कि मुझे फांसी दे दीजिए तो उस टाइम में न्यायालय ने बोला था कि फांसी उसी केस में मिल सकता जो रेयरेस्ट ऑफ द रेयर केस हो सर जो केस रेप के धारा में संशोधन लाने को पार्लियामेंट को मजबूर कर देता है तो वहां पे सर डेथ पेनल्टी देना फांसी का सजा देना ये कहां से गलत है
The most important demands of our justice system is justice delayed and justice denied. Means the justice is always be denied. You see the fair example of Delhi cases 2012 happening until now. The most important thing, I think that there is a right to appeal. Recently, the President of India is also advised in Rajasthan in his speech that right to mercy petition which has not to be in more heinous cases. There should be a constitution amendment and there should be change in the CRPC also. That right to appeal in more heinous cases should be not there.
Yeah. Oh, no right to appeal in more heinous cases. Okay.
मैम मैं ये पूछना चाहता हूँ कि जो आपने निर्भया केस के बारे में देखा कि ये जो जितने भी हमारे जो चार जो है जो भी जेल में बंद है उनका अगर आप क्राइम देखें तो लगता नहीं कि इस दुनिया के लोग हैं लगता है कि दूसरी दुनिया से आए इतनी क्रूरता इतने मतलब महिलाओं के प्रति और मतलब भावना जो थी उनकी बिल्कुल मतलब गलत है निंदनीय है और इतना टाइम देने की जरूरत ही नहीं है ऐसे लोगों को एक दिन भी जीने का अधिकार इन्हें नहीं है अगर आप देखें बिल्कुल निर्भया की माँ सही बोल रही थी कि हमारा सिस्टम हम लोग इतना यहाँ पर उनको
Last word, either Anoop or Mahira, quickly, then we're done with time.
No,
I want to say seconds. That this, even the Supreme Court seems to echo the sentiment that these are monsters, these are evil people, but they're not. We produce them, right? And we can't escape that reality that these are people that we as a society produced. And we can't escape from how that happened. It is not a case of a box of bad apples, box of apples, and we just remove the bad apples and suddenly society is hunky-dory. These things are going to happen. We produce this crime, right? And we cannot shy away from that. We cannot hide behind this need for revenge. And that is what exactly what we are doing. We all know today here that these executions are not going to prevent rape in our society.
These
right?
executions aren't going to prevent rape. Mihira, quick,
and
15
just one
seconds.
Point, just, 15 to the, seconds. Just to the young man's point, I really thought it was unbecoming of the president.
Okay, Mihira, quick,
to make
last
that,
word.
Just
yeah.
very quickly, one second reply to each of you, and then concluding to you. You mentioned countries that are far below us in human rights. I don't think it's a coincidence that those countries that have the death penalty are also the worst for women in the world, right? Do you, yes. I think it's wrong to say that this case has actually taken so much time because it's gone through so many stages and it's gone much faster than other cases. Justice delayed is certainly justice denied, but that's not the only maxim. We also have maxims like, you know, there should let, you know, even 100 innocent, guilty men may go free, but let not one innocent man be punished. So we have to have those safeguards. And, you know, in conclusion, okay. one concluding remark of my own, you know, I think morally and practically both death penalty is problematic. Morally, we may have disagreements on that, but I don't think anybody can disagree on the practicality, on the fact that it's not a deterrent, on the fact that we have, you know, imperfect evidence collection and investigation. And is it really worth it to have such a problematic punishment, you know, when you really can't be sure.
When you really can't be sure. Something for all of us to think about tonight. Thank you for joining us on We the People, where we believe it's important to speak up, but it's also important to listen. Thank you. Good night.